First John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. John says, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father or love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust or desires of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Thank the Lord for his word. Now, as we looked last week at the poem that John and the Holy Spirit interjected in verse 12 through 14, where he encouraged the saints, the church, in who they are and what they have in Christ, because he is addressing those things, you might say, the wolves in sheep's clothing that had slipped into the church. And he's having to say some hard and plain and difficult things. And so he writes those verses that we looked at last week to encourage, to keep us on a solid footing, those of us who truly belong to Christ. But now he picks up again in this passage here with very clear, black and white, you might say, points, words, sentences, things that are not given to misunderstanding or even misinterpretation. As I was studying and preparing on this message, I thought about a movie came out in December of 2000. Had George Clooney and some other folks in it. The title of the movie was Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Some of y'all are smiling because you watched it. Some of you haven't. And I'm not up here to advertise movies. But as I thought, that thought came to mind, I thought about, and just to tell you, there are, this is back, I guess, maybe the 30s, something like that, in Mississippi, and three fellas escaped from a chain gang. They're county prisoners. They escaped from a chain gang. And one of them, who considers himself very clever and a lot smarter than everybody else, has talked the other two into going with him, escaping with him, so they can get back to his hometown and find the treasure that he has hidden there. And he's convinced them there's this treasure, they'll all be rich, so they'll go with him. Well, to make a long story short, and it is quite a movie, one of them, Pete, gets captured. He gets caught by the law, and at a point in the movie, Elmer and Everett's a real smart one, and Elmer's one of the others. They've gone to the movies to watch a movie, and they're sitting in the movie theater because they're trying to get Pete back, and they heard that they're going to take the prisoners in here to watch this movie. You all know where I'm going with this, that have seen it. They're sitting in the movie, and it's dark, and they're waiting on it to start. Well, Pete, of course, has tried to save his own skin and thrown them under the bus as he was interrogated, and he told the sheriff where the treasure was and where Everett and Elmer were going. So in the movie and in the dark, Pete leans forward and says, "Do not seek the treasure." If you saw it, you can't forget that line and him saying it. And he says it several times until the sheriff or deputy gets on to it. And the point is, and the reason why I bring that up, is it's a trap. And that's why he's trying to warn them. Because since he's told the sheriff, he knows that it's a trap. And if they go and try to find the treasure, that they're going to get arrested. They're going to get caught. And of course, that's what happens. But if you've seen the movie, not only is it a trap, it's a lie. Because there is no treasure. never was any treasure. It was made up by Everett. And that, as I studied this passage, and that I think the Lord brought that to my mind because it illustrates so clearly the devil and his kingdom, the way of this world. John says, do not love the world or the things that are in this world. Now, it can get a little confusing, I admit, when you're reading the Bible and you come across a word that is used or interpreted in several different ways. In the New Testament, the word for world is cosmos, and in the Greek, and it is interpreted like five different ways. Now, it literally means, the literal or interpretation of the word, the literal definition, is to set in order, to adorn or decorate. You know that John 3:16, for God so loved the world, all of his creation, especially humanity, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But that's not the word, the world, or the idea or the application of that word here that John is using. Like I said, there's actually five different ones, and I'm not going to go into all of them. But the one that this one is focusing on, the one that John means here, is that order of operating or a system of operating. And what he's referring to, obviously, is the order of this world system that is alienated from God, that fell, that came under the power and the control of Satan and darkness when Adam and Eve sinned. John 14:30, Satan is called the ruler of this world order. Now, obviously, this is our Father's world. He reigns over all. But whenever man sinned, whom God had entrusted and given authority to over this world system, he abdicated that authority to the devil. And of course, that's why Christ went to the cross, to pay the penalty for our sin and to liberate us from the devil, from darkness, from his kingdom, and one day fully and completely to annihilate that darkness from God's creation and make it new. But in the present time, here and now, Satan is called. And 1 John, later on in the book, we will see here this letter. John says that the whole world, or this whole system and way of operating, is under the control of the evil one. So John says, do not love, or do not, it's actually the strongest word of love, agapeo. Do not give yourself without reservation or view to recompense to this world, its ways and allurements, to self. Just like with Delmer and Pete and Everett, it's a trap and it's a lie. That's how the enemy of our souls operates. And John makes it plain as he seeks to set things right in the churches where he has addressed this letter to. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father or love for the Father is not in him. Jesus said, if you recall, in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and despise the other, or he'll hate one and reject the other. You can't be committed and devoted to this world system that is all about me first, and really love God, really live in God's will, and devoted to Him. Verse 16, he goes on, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. It's not of the Father. It is of this world, this world system. And you notice that none of those things are tangible. None of those are physical. You recall when God finished creation, he declared all that he made as very good. Very good. And there isn't anything wrong with the world. There isn't anything wrong with all that God has blessed us with in this physical world. God created it. It's good. It's very good. But it's when it is taken and used and usurped in Satan's way and in his kingdom of me first and selfishness, the big I, is whenever those things within where darkness operates, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life comes out. You see, the devil's only got one bag of tricks. And that's all he's ever used. Began there in the garden, the same exact thing that John is addressing here. Genesis 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Hasn't God indeed said, You shall not eat of the tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasing to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and that it was a tree and a tree that was desirable to make one wise, the pride of life, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband, and he ate. You see, the enemy has no other plans. That's who he is the great or the big I. As if you want to see what Isaiah said about it, don't turn now, but in Isaiah 14, verse 13 and 14, Isaiah declares what took place with Satan, with Lucifer. He said, "For you have said," referring to Lucifer, "you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." The big I was Satan's problem. That's what got him thrown out of heaven, and that's what will have him thrown once and for all eternity in hell with all who follow him. But the way the world operates under that system is what leads to destruction. And that's why John is reminding the church, the followers of Christ, in no uncertain terms, you cannot love, you cannot give yourself to the world or the things of the world. If you do, you can't love the Father at the same time, because everything that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. It's of the world. And as I said, Satan has no other bag of tricks. Whenever he confronts Christ, when the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness after his baptism to be tempted by the devil, it's the same thing. You all recall the story. Jesus goes and he fasts for 40 days, and then he is confronted by Satan. And Satan says to him, this is one place you could look, is in Matthew 4. I'm not going to read all of it, but in Matthew 4, verse 1 through 11, Jesus is hungry. So Satan takes first that desire of the flesh, and he tempts him to turn these stones into bread. And Jesus responds with the word of God, just like we saw last week in overcoming the enemy with the word of God. He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." And then Satan takes Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple for this big thrill adventure, you might say, for this lust of the eyes to be seen and put on a show, you might say. Tells him to cast himself down, and he quotes a scripture from Psalms to him about the angels taking care of him. Jesus responds to him, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." And then finally, Satan pulls out his last trick again in the same bag and in the same way, the pride of life. He shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and he offers them to him if he will just bow down and worship Satan. Jesus says to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve." That pride of life is the devil's last and biggest draw and most powerful tool to bring people to destruction. But it's always in the same three avenues. I've been to several other countries. A lot of you have. I've been to some very wealthy places and some very impoverished places. And humanity faces the same three battles, regardless of who they are, what language they speak, or how much they have. Because there is only the kingdom of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, Satan, this cosmos, this world system, and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. But getting that pride stirred up, that pride of life stirred up, is one of the enemy's strongest tools. And John is calling us to beware and to not give into it, to not love that, to not devote ourselves, to not agapeo, give of ourselves to that. Kind of illustrating a little story I read about a little boy. Some of us can relate to it, not little boys, but kind of the story. People, it's easy to get taken with yourself. The little boy was overheard talking to himself as he strutted through the backyard one day, wearing his baseball cap, toting a bat, a ball and a bat. "I'm the greatest hitter in the world," he announced. Then he tossed the ball into the air, swung at it and missed. "Strike one," he yelled. Undaunted, he picked up the ball and said again, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." He tossed the ball into the air. When it came down, he swung again and missed. "Strike two," he cried. The boy then paused a moment to examine his bat and ball carefully. He spat on his hands and rubbed them together and straightened his cap and said once more, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." Again, he tossed the ball up in the air and swung at it and missed. "Strike three." "Wow," he exclaimed, "I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." When we get taken with ourselves, we get... get in delusion, as he was. John says, "Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father, a love for the Father is not in him, not controlling him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, because everything the Father made is good, very good. But all of that is of the world." In verse 17, "And the world is passing away." The world is passing away with all its lust, with all its desires. But he who does the will of God abides forever. This world is passing away. Its days are numbered. Me first way of life ends in destruction. There is no treasure buried for us to find in the flesh, in selfishness, in pride. There is no treasure. It's a lie. It's a trap. And it will burn up. And we'll all be changed. 2 Peter 3:13 says, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness." One where everything is right as God intended it to be. John said, "He who does the will of God abides forever." That's eternal life. Living with God. Here and now, enjoying that taste of heaven by living in His Word and in His love. Not allowing the allurements of the world and of self and of pride and the flesh to drag us away from loving the Father. He who does the will of God abides forever. What is the will of God? Paul said to the Philippian jailer when he came running in the middle of the night after the earthquake, What must I do to be saved? What's the answer? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You'll find the answer. You'll have life. And he did believe. He and his whole household, and they were baptized the next morning. Believe and love. Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus made it clear what all of the law and the prophets and the Bible is written about. When the lawyer asked him, what was the greatest commandment? What is the will of God? What is it he's commanded? First and foremost, put it in a nutshell. And Jesus says, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said that on those two laws, those two revelations of the will of God, hang all of God's commandments and revelation. Love not the world. Enjoy what God has created. He is evident in it. If you will give him opportunity to and acknowledge him in it, he will show you his goodness and his glory and his grace in everything he's created around us, day in and day out. If you'll but notice. But love not the world. Love not the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Love the Father and abide forever.